This morning when we gathered in the sanctuary for prayer, we had a wonderful prayer that just kind of really spoke to real peace. And I so appreciated, so needed to hear that. You know, some years ago, President Ronald Reagan said this: peace is not the absence of conflict. It is the ability to handle conflict by a peaceful means. I'm going to say that one more time. Peace is not the absence of conflict. You know, we don't experience peace just simply because nothing bad or challenging is happening. It's the ability to handle conflict in a peaceful means. And immediately what that says to me is that peace gets achieved when people are involved. When someone bridges the gap, crosses the canyon, meets people where they need to be met the most. Instead of doing the opposite, which is to remove themselves. Sometimes you and I can relate to the fact of wanting to remove ourselves and to go the other way. You know, I was thinking back at a time, and this was pre-Kathy, but I had an opportunity for a dating experience. And it was a dating opportunity. And one phone conversation, and immediately turned off, and I bailed. Because just at the hint of disorder, just sent me running in the opposite direction. Done. Gone. I was not breaching that gap. I didn't want to go there, and I wasn't going to go there. Maybe some of you have had that experience in relationships with people, right? At work, sometimes in conflict within family and friends, where you're just not going to go there. Maybe that particular day you're just not up for it, you know? Maybe there are other things that you're carrying, and to that, in that moment, it's the straw that's going to break the camel's back, and so you're out of there. I want to say to you this morning, I thank God that that never is the case with Jesus. But never the case with God. He will always bridge the gap. He will always step over, cross over to be there to help us. He knows and always knows what he is getting into. And he is always willing to follow through. And he did that when it came time for him to come down and physically enter into mankind's mess. And this morning as we continue the visitation series, I want to talk about welcome to my mess. Because what Christ did was to come into it, into ours, into mankind's. And he did that with the nation of Israel. And I want you to think about the nation of Israel almost as a person here this morning, because they had gone through a lot of things, and by the time Jesus shows up, they are a mess. Their military power is gone. They are not the once great nation that God made them. Okay? Not the once great nation that God made them. They were powerless. They were lacking. It was an unsafe environment. They were out of step, and many of you can relate to when I say out of sync with their God. I'm still trying to get my phone to sync up with the technology in my mother-in-law's car. And I just can't get it to work. I don't know. I probably have to go to the book and start instead of playing to try to figure out what it is. Right? But as a nation, these people were out of sync with God. Foreigners came into their land, took over. First dealing with the Greeks and Alexander the Great. And then the Romans came along. And then, of course, now, when Jesus is about to enter in, they're under Roman rule and the hand of Herod the Terrible. And not to mention the inner workings of their land with the egomanism that was going on with the different sects and rulers that were going on there, such as the Sadducees. Interestingly enough, the Sadducees were faithless politicians in some sense, hungry for power, always looking to suck up to the Romans in any way they could. And then on the other hand, we had Sadducees, the Pharisees, from the Sadducees to the Pharisees, followers of Moses and the Ten Commandments, so they say, in power and planning to stay that way. Yeah. You had these dividing factions within. You had this occupation that took over. It's a bit of a mess. The people are discouraged. They want something more out of life. They want something more for their nation. And it is not going well for them. In fact, when you look at the prophets in the scriptures, a lot of times the things that they have to say really are God's way of depicting a nation that needs his presence. And this morning I just share one with you from the book of Amos, chapter 2, two verses, 6 and 7, or a verse and a half. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they sell the righteous, for silver. You know, we just got done singing how precious is God, more precious than silver, and people were not valued within their own sex, sold for silver, and the needy for a pair of sandals. Those who trample the head of the poor into the dust of the earth and turn aside the way of the afflicted. There was great needs, and nobody was caring for their neighbor. In a sense, it was everybody for themselves. A messy environment. And usually messy environments start from messy individuals, from within. And a lot of times, if that doesn't get healed, quite often, we hurt one another, or people hurt one another, when they have not gotten fixed or healed or touched within their own lives. And when we don't, we consequently and ultimately pass it on to others. When we're hurting, if we don't get healed, we end up hurting others. But into this, he came. And even into this today, he still comes. As I said last week, this time of year is reminding that his visitation is not just once, but it is a daily experience that he comes out and he looks to reach into our lives. And so he comes, as we are told in Luke 2:12. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The sign of God's visitation. The sign of God saying, here I come. Here I am, and I am going to be with you. So I was thinking this week as I pondered that imagery of Jesus being born in a barn, of it being another sign, in a sense. Jesus coming into an unhealthy environment and into the mess of mankind. Think about it. And many of you women, if you put yourself in Mary's shoes, you would not be wanting to be bringing a child into the world into an environment such as a manger in a barn. Okay? It's unclean. It's unsanitary. It is absent of bleach, disinfectant, sterilized clothing and cloth. It is a dangerous world. And here, Jesus, he lay in such mean estates, in such a mean estate, right? As we sing, where ox and ass are feeding, right? And doing some other things, because it's a barn, right? But you see, this is what Christ comes into. And to me, it's like a sign, right? If he would come into an environment such as this, that he would allow himself to be born in such a place, what does that say about coming into our lives, about your life and my life? Because it's not always as pretty as we would like it to be. And quite often, if we kind of are honest about it and real about it, our lives can tend to be messy. And at times, we are a bit of a mess. We have a hard time dealing with certain aspects of life. We so often get hurt and wounded by our circumstances and by our relationships. There's a lot of pain that can go around and be experienced, especially at this time of year. We heard an interesting, Kathy and I last night went on the walking tour from the library in Patchogue, and it was a good thing, it was a cool thing to do. I personally, on my own, would never do that, but I looked to my wife as we got ready to go out and be in Patchogue at 4:30, I'm like, I'm doing this for you, okay? I'm doing this for you. Because on my own, I wouldn't want to be there. But it was a really good experience, and it was a walk of the four different places of worship in Patchogue. The Methodist Church, Temple Bethel, and Manuel Lutheran, Anyway, in the last church, we talked about at this time of year that domestic violence goes up. Okay? Probably due to stress and money issues that come along with the time of year and everything else, but it goes up, right? There's a lot of brokenness in our world, and yet this is what Jesus came for. And when you and I take the moment to slow down enough to even examine our own lives and the pain that so easily can beset us, it's for that reason Christ came. So I want to ask you this question. With that in mind, do you think Jesus is turned off by the odor of our brokenness and our shortcomings? You know. But you and I are. Okay, let's face it. If I didn't shower Saturday night and fix myself up on Sunday morning, you probably wouldn't want to be near me, okay? But God doesn't have a problem with our scent and our odor and who we are. And Jesus proves that by coming into the world. He does. I want to share a story with you this morning. It's a story from a pastor by the name of Jim Cimbaler. In fact, if you went online, I think it's called the Jim Cimbaler's Easter Story. And I want to say this, for those of you who don't know who Jim is a preacher in Brooklyn. He is a pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, and many of you might have heard of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. You might have a CD of theirs. Well, anyway, that's where he resides, and that's where he speaks from, and this is a story that he experienced, and it goes like this. It was Easter Sunday, and I was so tired. It was at the end of the day, and I went to the edge of the platform, pulled down my tie, and sat down and draped my feet over the edge. It was a wonderful service with many people coming forward. The counselors were talking with these people. As I sat there, I looked up in the middle of the aisle, and there in about the third row was a man who looked about 50, disheveled, filthy. He looked up at me rather sheepishly, as if saying, could I talk to you? We have homeless people coming in all the time, asking for money or whatever. So as I sat there, I said to myself, though I am ashamed of it, what a way to end Sunday. I've had such a good time preaching and ministering, and here a fellow probably wanting some money for more wine has come to me. He walked up, and when he got within 5 feet of me, I detected, listen to this, a horrible odor, as I had never smelled in my life. It was so awful that when he got close, I would inhale by looking away, and then I'd talk to him. I asked him, what is your name? David. How long have you been on the street? 6 years. How old are you? 32. He looked 50. Hair matted, front teeth missing, wino, eyes slightly glazed. Where did you sleep last night, David? Abandoned truck. I keep in my back pocket a money clip that also holds some credit cards. I fumbled to pick one out thinking, I'll give him some money. I won't even bother a volunteer. They're all busy talking to others. Usually we don't give money to people. We take them to get something to eat. I took the money out. David pushed his finger in front of me and said, I don't want your money. I want this Jesus. The one you were talking about, because I'm not going to make it. I'm going to die in the street. At once, I completely forgot about David. And I started to weep for myself. I was going to give a couple of dollars to someone God had sent to me. See how easy it is? I could make the excuse I was tired. There is no excuse. I was not seeing him the way God sees him. I was not feeling what God feels. But oh, did that change. David just stood there. He didn't know what was happening. I pleaded with God, forgive me. Forgive me. Please forgive me. I am so sorry to represent you this way. I'm so sorry. Here I am with my message and my points, and you send me somebody, and I am not ready for it. Oh, God. Suddenly, I wept deeper. And David began to weep. Listen to this. He fell against my chest as I was sitting there. He fell against me and against my white shirt and tie. And I put my arms around him. And there we wept on each other. The smell of his person became a beautiful aroma. And here is what I thought the Lord made real to me. If you don't love this smell, I can't use you. Because this is why I called you where you are. This is what you are about. You are about the smell. Made me recall of one of my professors in preparing for ministry said, if you don't like the smell of sheep, get out of the barn. Basically what he was expressing during that class that on that evening was, if you don't like to deal with people, you don't belong in ministry, because you're going to be dealing with them your entire life. You know? You hear what happens? Here is a man whom God sent to another man who was broken, who had no peace in his life. He was succumbing to the thought and the idea, and for him it would be the reality, that he was going to end up dying in the street. Really, what happened to David later on was he became a part of the church. He found Christ. He started growing in his faith, became active there at the church. God transformed his life just from this moment of coming in contact with one of God's representatives, one of his people. Peace through a visitation, first and foremost, of the Holy Spirit on that day and whatever took place in that sanctuary, but then really driving it home and making it happen for this man, because God was at work in both the man who was outside coming in and the man who was inside who needed to go out. And I want to say, this is what God has calls us as a people, to experience this peace in our own personal chaos and then to bring it to someone else, to be willing to share it. And we never know who God is going to bring into our midst. The interactions we're going to have in the course of a day. But are we open to the fact that God could and desires to use us in some way to bring contact into our lives? Isaiah 52:7 says this, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, and who says to Zion, to his people, your God reigns. Your God reigns. You see, this time of year, when we come around, the thought that God would come to us, take on the form of a man, become a child, in order to bring peace, is an incredible thing. Our God reigns. He comes and he looks to publish the message of peace to the lives of his people. Happiness, salvation. Yes, he chooses to enter into our own personal chaos. And I really do think that that's what makes it so real. Because if you and I can experience this peace for ourselves, then we have something to offer someone else. But if we just go on our merry way because we got the ticket to ride, right? And we're on our way, and one day we're going to pull up to that station and going to get off, then we're missing something, because it's much more than that. I don't know about you, but I would like to get as many people on that train with me as possible. Now, I don't know. Even if it's just a handful, it's more than if they weren't included or brought in. You see, his actions are to be our actions. His love, our love. What the Savior did is what his followers, those who call themselves disciples, should be doing as well. This is what he says to us. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who mourn. That's what Jim Cimbala did with that man. At that moment, that man was a gift in his life. He could see his own nakedness. He could see his own shortness. Even though he's a great guy for the Lord, right? God is using this man. But God wanted to teach him something. Because none of us arrive. We all have things to learn. We all have some other way that we can be growing to know him better and to share his love with someone else. Blessed are the peacemakers. David experienced peace. Maybe that was his first taste, but that was all he needed as he sat next to Jim Cimbala and they wept together because God was doing that. And God was using Jim. Because you see, along with Jim, we too are to be an extension of Christ, especially at this time of year, every day, but especially around this time of year, to be his hands, to touch somebody, physically touch somebody. I don't know about you, but when, and you know, I'm Italian, so I'm a physical guy, right? But when, you know, when somebody touches me, I feel it. And I hope when I do it, people say they feel something as well. We ought to be his hands, his feet, to go to others, to be willing, maybe even willing to go to someone that we would walk away from. Because I tell you, if it was left up to Jim that day, he would have walked away. God sent David to him. But who does God want to send us to? We need to be his eyes. You know, you've heard it. The eyes are the window of the soul. When we look at someone, can they see something different in our eyes? Do they see his love? Do they see God smiling back at them? And when we speak, can they hear his voice? And I'm not saying that you need to be talking about God at that moment. I'm just saying, do they hear it in your tone and how you converse with them? Can they hear love? Can they hear tenderness? Are we filled with him to the point where it's overflowing in our lives? See, because he came to give us his peace so that we don't just have it for ourselves, but that we are generous with it. Listen to Revelation 3:20 with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. See, this is what God is doing. He He's taking the time to knock on the door of each of our lives. Now you could say, well, I've been a Christian for, you know, I mean, he did that years ago. No, then you're missing the point. Every day we have an opportunity for God to come and knock on the door of our lives. And you might say, hey, I'm not ready today. I mean, I had such a miserable night at work last night. Or, you don't know what I just said to my spouse, or how I spoke to my children, or how I got handled a phone call or a business deal or whatever it is that you have your hands to. It doesn't matter. He still comes to the door and knocks because he wants to visit you and I, because it's at those times we need him the most. We need his visitation the most at those times. So don't run and hide. You know, don't shut the lights down, turn the radio off, darken the house because you want to make sure that he thinks that you're not there and he'll move on, you know? Don't be ashamed to open up the door to let him see what's in there, you know? Wait, I didn't vacuum, I didn't clean, it doesn't matter to him. It doesn't matter. He's not thinking it's a perfect environment. He knows better. He knows us. And the beauty is that he loves us in spite of it. He loves us in spite of it. And we just need to let him in. And our welcome should not be one that's half-hearted. All right. Grudgingly. Okay, you could come. You know, I'll spend time with you today, Lord. But actually wholehearted. Not half-hearted, but wholehearted. Because he, the Prince of Peace, wants to spend time with you. And I don't care where you are in the journey. We often think that that's got to be for the person who doesn't know the Lord. They haven't experienced him yet. They don't know what it means to be in his presence or to experience his love and his peace and salvation and on and on and on. I'm telling you, it's for every one of us. And the longer that you've been at it and in it, it's for you. It's for me. Doesn't matter. Time, don't I've been a Christian 42, 43 years. You know, I could say that this spring. I've been at it 43. So what? I need to keep going. You know what I'm saying? I need him more now than ever. And I want to say to you that as a people of God, we need him more than ever. We need to welcome him in wholeheartedly and say, you know what? I lack what you have for me, and I need it. And I want to tell you, when we can be real like that with God, then you can go out and be real like that with others. Because what people need, our culture and our world needs, is to see that God is real in the lives of people like you and I. That's why I get so pumped for Thanksgiving service. Because they hear, you hear, I hear it in the lives of others. And that's what has to happen. That's what should be happening. And that's what it's all about. So, if you can be born in a barn, if you can enter in, as we sang today, for the sins of the world, then as far as I'm concerned, he's welcome in here. It's exactly where he belongs, in us, all right? And so this morning as we go, we're going to sing, What Child Is This? And I want to say to you, what is this child to you? What is this time for you? As I said last week, it is a time for us to become more aware than ever, awakened to the fact that is a reason that he came. Yes, to give us hope, and yes, to bring us peace. To bring us peace. The long-awaited, much-needed peace. With that, pray with me, will you? Oh God, thank you for loving us the way we are. And Lord, we confess to you even now that we need the coming of a Savior. May this child who grew to be a man, who reigns on high, dwell richly with us. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for listening.
What child is this to lay to rest on Mary's lap?
Passes all understanding and guards our hearts and our minds.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Because you are in us. We bless you, Lord. We know you bless us.
Yes, oh God.
Give us a good week, oh God.
Thank you, Jesus.
We take you with us wherever we go.
Amen.
Lead us this week to be your hands and feet.
Yes,
as you direct. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Have a great week.